including visitors. Hope you feel welcome here. I want to encourage the rest of us who make this place more familiar that if you see an unfamiliar face, then go out of your way this morning and just acknowledge them and welcome them. But also on that note, what came to my mind is we're singing the thank you worship team, the emphasis on the goodness of God. We all believe it, or we all want to believe it, but we're not always experiencing it. And the reality is God doesn't put you in a bubble where you can always experience this goodness. He'll allow you to experience his goodness outside or without a bubble, and it sometimes doesn't feel very good. And some of you are in that place this morning, and so you may have sung along, and you wanted to declare it, and you want to believe it, but you're not quite there. So I want to pray, again, regarding this, that those specific things, whatever they are for you, or even if you're carrying someone else's burden, someone else who isn't here or who is here, but that God has laid on your heart, to give that to him, so that in the trial and in the test and in the Lord help, you'll experience his goodness. And at the end of that, I will also give thanks for, as we do the last time of the month, give thanks for the offerings, that the financial offerings that are given to this body by you. We want to thank you on behalf of the leadership for your sowing into your tithes and offerings into this, but we want to acknowledge the Lord for his provision in that way. So, Father, we say we have declared you are good. You get to define what good is. And sometimes good doesn't feel very good. Sometimes good is hard and long and even painful. So, Lord, whatever those things are right now that your people here are thinking about or are maybe hanging on to, so, Lord, together, corporately, we give those things to you. And in that, we still say, Lord, you are good. But we ask, as your children, without apology, show your goodness to us who, especially in this hour or these days, maybe need it more than others. Lord, come through where there's a wall or a closed door or no open window. Lord, sometimes it's not about the issue, but you're trying to get our attention, and you use the issue to get it. And so, Lord, we say you are good in all your dealings with us. And so give us the understanding to see things from your perspective. Lord, you will not leave us orphans. You will not let us starve. You will not leave us without provision. But for some of us, Lord, we have nowhere else to go right now. And so we lift these things to you corporately. Thank you, too, for the funds given that are in the offering box. We give you thanks and praise for provision every month, every year, year after year. And Lord, we acknowledge you as the provider for each one of us as individuals, as couples, or as families in our day-to-day lives. But Lord, where there's lack, will you come and break through? In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to go to Acts chapter 8. We're going to finish the chapter. Begin at verse 26 to the end. And somewhat of a maybe lengthy introduction. My title this morning is Sent Down a Lonely Road. So Acts 8, beginning at 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. We, in September of 2017, are living in some gripping or riveting times. August 21, there was a solar eclipse that we went across the United States, or was visible there. In Genesis 1, it says, "Lights in the firmament of the heavens," or God created lights in the firmament of the heavens, "let them be for signs and seasons." Was the eclipse a sign for the season we're in? Well, we have had Hurricane Harvey that slammed into Texas, devastated a lot of homes. We had Hurricane Irma that hit Florida. This past week, Hurricane Maria that caused 100% power outage in Puerto Rico. Where they're even talking, it'll be months before the power is restored. Right now, it's veering off the east coast of the states. Mexico City was hit with an earthquake this past week, 7.1. You know, in the middle of these times, there's no shortage of prophecies, although it does say in one of our Old Testament minor prophets that God does nothing in this world without telling his prophets. And there's actually prophetic word that there would be two hurricanes that would hit America, and then two earthquakes that would hit each border. So the Mexican border has been hit. Where's the other one going, if it's coming? So we live in very interesting times. Some of you are familiar, there was a lot of speculation about yesterday, September 23, 2017, because of the lining up of the planets. Some of them said it would be the rapture and the end of the world. Well, here we are, the 24th, we're still here. And regarding yesterday, there was those who believe it was fulfillment of Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2. There was an alignment in the heavens of the sun, moon, and Jupiter. And then Venus, Mars, and Mercury also showed up to the right of Virgo in the constellation Leo. Now, if you Google this or YouTube this, you'll see this. It's kind of an interesting show of the signs that took place in the heavens. What does all this mean? I don't know. Other than God or Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. But what he doesn't say is the seasons. I think we live in fascinating times. For those of us who are watching or listening at a distance, horrible times if you're in the midst of it, and more may be coming. What am I saying in this? You may be ready for the return of Jesus, but many of those died maybe weren't. You may be waiting for the return of Jesus. Some of them may be hoping they'll never be. Many people aren't ready. Does that concern you? Does it concern you that with over 7 billion people in the world, the majority are not yet professing Christians? I get to be an optimist because I read my Bible. The kingdom of heaven will grow. And there's thousands or millions, no, there's thousands born every day, but thousands die every day too. Does it matter enough to us or to you to ask God to use you to see others rescued from eternal separation from God? If you remember in January of 2017, I said, let 2017 be a year where you will see one person led to the Lord through you. How are we doing? How are we doing? If there is such thing as a love thermometer, what's your reading? Love for God and love for others. Because love will motivate you. Love will compel you. Lack of it won't. It'll do the opposite. Now Jesus says, no one knows the day and the hour, but he says, take heed. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And what I say to you, I say to all. So he says to us, and the word is watch. Watch. Watch what's going on. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But we live in interesting times. I know there's conspiracy theories about all this stuff as well. But God's doing something. I actually don't believe that one says, well, there's judgment on America. And the next one, no, it's not judgment, it's something else. We're not to judge anyone else. Maybe we need to say, well, judgment on the church. Now, Jesus said the first great commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So let's just stop there for a moment. What has your response been lately for Jesus laying down his life for you? In this story, we have an Ethiopian, a black man, who found life in that simple message. For some of us who have been there for years, we've entered eternal security where we've entered being forgiven of our sins and having a hope in the gospel, hope in the cross years ago. What is it doing for you today? I haven't forgotten, thank God, but I remember a time when I would loathe the possibility of committing another sin. And sometimes I'm lukewarm to that idea. But if you look at the cross, what God thinks of sin, even the sin that we willfully commit as believers are just as putrid. Now picture the end of your life and appearing before Jesus. It's going to happen, right? Picture the end of your life and appearing before Jesus. At that point, you can't go back and make changes, right? So picture it. Whatever, however you read 1 Thessalonians 4, he'll return in the clouds of heaven, where you'll meet him, where he will judge all things. Picture standing before him. Some of you shudder. I don't believe the Bible teaches that all your sins will be exposed. I don't believe that. The passages that refer that say something like that, what's in darkness we brought to light, I don't believe it refers to that. But your works will be tried. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, your works will be tried by fire. And Paul there is teaching, he says there's only one foundation you can build on. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. And then whatever you've built on that foundation is going to be tried by fire. Some things are going to burn up and some things get to go with you on the other side. How sure are we that what we are into is going to pass the test of fire? How much will be burned away? All of us may be in for some real surprises. You may find out where you totally missed it and where you followed God's will. Where you built on the only foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now, there's no going back and redoing some things. But today, September 24, 2017, is as good a day as any to make changes where you need to. You can't go back. But Lord willing, you have more ahead of you. And the day you stand before Him, there's no going back to any of it. That's my introduction. So in Acts 8:26, we have Philip preaching Jesus to a man from Ethiopia. It's about 4,500 kilometers away if Ethiopia today was the Ethiopia of then. He was a long ways from home in Enama. He was on his way back. They believe he was probably a Jew heading back. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was going back. And this story started with an angel speaking to Philip. No, actually, it doesn't start there. The story starts is where Philip had been the day an angel spoke to him. Philip had been about his master's business. He had been doing God's work. He had been selected to feed the widows that were being neglected. And then when persecution came, he chose or prompted, he left Jerusalem and he went to Samaria and he preached there. And I spoke on that last week. He had been active in Christ-centered ministry. Looking after widows is a Christ-centered ministry, if you do it with Him in mind. He preached Jesus in Samaria and he demonstrated the presence of the kingdom with the accompanying signs and miracles. Now, I think it could be a clue or reason why this man of God has an angel talk to him and give him that specific instruction. Now, we know from our Bibles that angels are part of the family of God. Would you agree? God had a family before he had you. God had a family before Adam and Eve were created. Because in Job, it says the angels are called the sons of God. And so God has a family on the other side, wherever the other side is. Now they come into this side. When or why would they come into this side and what would they do? We have a clue here in this passage. God had a family before he created man, and so there's a heavenly counterpart. As you go, it's important. They go. My intent, which I hope is God's intent this morning, is to encourage you. If I would put one word over top of my sermon, it's for encouragement. As you go, they go. As your idol, they don't go. As you go the wrong way, they don't go. Oh, sometimes they'll still go and protect you. They are called ministering spirits. But they really get to go when you go in the right way. And by the way, they have no problem keeping up to your speed. Let me say it respectfully. They may spin their wheels on the spot quite often, as they're standing beside us. You have to ask the question. I can't tell you. Sometimes kids see this. How many angels are here today? Some believe every person has a guardian angel. Others say, I'm not so sure. But they're our family. If we're part of God's family and they're called the sons of God, they are part of our family, or we're part of theirs. Now, it also says we one day will judge angels. Now, depending on your assignment, that will depend what level or rank is assigned to you. Don't worry. Your assignment is not so big that there's no angel that can be your counterpart. When Joshua stood there overlooking Jericho as the captain of the army of the Jews, of the Israelites, he was met with who? His counterpart. He was confronted by the captain of heaven's army. Now, angels are interested in what we're involved in. We don't help them. They're there to help us. And they will help us when there is something we're doing that they can join. In your own time, or even if you can do two things at once, listen and ponder, think of the Gospels. How many times did an angel or angels show up when Jesus was on the scene? He was tempted. Following the temptation, what happened? Angels ministered to him. Jesus even told the religious rulers, or was it the religious rulers or the Romans? I can't remember. Don't you think I could not call 12 legions of angels to come down and rescue me? Why? Because he was into something they're interested in. And they were there. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Hebrews. So an angel speaks to Philip. Would you recognize it, Marie, if an angel speaks to you? Okay. You can ask those questions coming to the text. How did Philip recognize it was an angel? Because a little further on, it says the Spirit said to him, catch up to this guy. But verse 26, it says, an angel said to Philip. Now it says said, it doesn't say appeared, like Joseph, the husband of Mary. In those cases, an angel appeared to him and said, get out of here. An angel spoke to him. Is it possible? Now, by the way, we're not into angel worship. But angels are throughout the Bible, and they are there for us, for God. Not just for us. Would you, or have you, recognized when an angel spoke to you? I hope for us here, it's that we didn't recognize, not that they didn't. Because if they didn't, we're never about the business, the things they're interested in. Right? Now, the instruction is limited and seems incomplete. It says, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, that's a lonely road. The Bible says it's desert. It also tells us he followed through. He received the next instructions not until he needed them. You ever been there? You get half, you get a little bit, you get a snippet, you get a word, you get an impression, it's like, nah. I need more clarity than that. That can't be God. Or that can't be an angel. All he was told was go down the road that it goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. But what had Philip been into? What had he been about? He'd ministered to the widows, he'd preached to Samaria, and accompanied the preaching with signs and miracles. He was about the kingdom of God and about elevating Jesus and seeing that the power of the kingdom was displayed and people got saved. And so he gets this word from an angel, go down this road to Gaza. So reason and logic versus faith. We face it all the time. I have regrets. You hope maybe have regrets. Things I should have obeyed that proved to be that was God. And I didn't either recognize it, or I decided I don't want to, or I reasoned my way out of it. You ever done that? Now, the Spirit of God may have been in this. Kids, who spoke to Moses on the mountain when he received the Ten Commandments? Yes, Mercy? God, okay? Does any youngster disagree with that? Good, I agree with you. But the Bible also tells us in three places, in Galatians, in Hebrews, and in Acts 7, that an angel was in that venture as well. That the law of God was received through an angel. How can that be? Well, for one, angels are into what God is into. And angels show up when God's people are into what God is into. So was the Spirit of God behind Philip leaving Jerusalem to go to Gaza? Yeah. Did an angel speak to him? Yes. So here's my theory. But we would always say, well, I had this prompt, I had this intuition, I heard this voice, not audible, but I heard his voice. God said to me, I believe God said to me. I'm going to say, if that was God, yes. But it could come through the means of an angel's voice. If you think I'm stretching it, I trust I have 100% buy-in, and if not, that's, I don't know what to do with that. But do demonic forces ever bother you? You think? You think you ever get tempted? You ever get thoughts come to your mind from the other side? Okay, once she doesn't. She needs to pray for us. Right, we do, right? They're evil spirits. How do they come? They throw thoughts at you. So if the evil side can do it, why not the elect angels? And yes, the Spirit of God is in it. So maybe we can't distinguish if it's a Spirit of God or an angel. I'm going to say it is a Spirit of God, and sometimes, or often, it's through the means of an angel. That's where I'm standing. Now, have you ever found yourself on a deserted road and wondered what it was all about? It's pretty lonely. It's pretty dry. Not a lot of company, not a lot of buy-in, not a lot of support. It's not a popular road, but you're there. How did you get there? Hopefully the reason you got there because you believed God had communicated, impressed something upon you, and you obeyed. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you by saying you're not there by chance. God bless you for your obedience. Despite how it feels, all you were given was an instruction to do something, and now you're there and say, okay, God, it's pretty dry around here. Where's all the tents of my comrades? Where's my cheerleaders? You'll get the naysayers. Are you sure this is God? Doesn't good feel better than that? It's easier to travel with a crowd. Feels better, right? As some said, rice must be good for you because 2 billion people can't be wrong. And I still don't like rice. It's easier to go down a lonely road, though, when you're in the flow of the Spirit like Philip was. And that's our struggle, to get in the flow of the Spirit. Philip was in the flow of the Spirit. It wasn't, maybe not fair to say, but it might have been less of an issue for him than for us. Maybe it was a non-issue for him. He knew who he was following. He knew what he was about. He knew what he was living for. His why for doing things was Jesus. And seeing people pulled from darkness into light, seeing the sick healed, seeing the miracles and the power and the signs of the kingdom of God displayed, and Jesus receiving the glory was big enough why for him. And so he went. And so the key for you on your lonely road is what's the purpose? What's the reason you're there? So Philip engages the Ethiopian. Now, from what I can understand, they're both heading the same way, and things seem backwards. He's on foot from, well, doesn't say, but I'm presuming he's on foot, and the Ethiopian's in a chariot. And again, my understanding of the text is I'm presuming the Ethiopian was ahead of him, and so Philip had to make up a lot of time, and he had the slower vehicle, his legs. But he does, he gets closer. And as he comes close, he receives a second instruction. And then it says, it doesn't say an angel said. Then it says the Holy Spirit said to him, go near and overtake this chariot. So he does, and he hears this man reading out loud, and he's reading Isaiah, or a part of Isaiah 53. And he says to the man, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless someone explain it to me? Now, he'd come from Ethiopia. He'd been in Jerusalem. We don't know how long. He may have heard about this Jesus or these followers of Jesus, and who knows what he thought of it. And so Philip is welcomed into the chariot, and he begins at that passage, and he explains, and it says he preaches Jesus to him. And another soul is saved. What hinders me from being baptized? When they came to some water. Well, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They went down into the water and they came out. Some say he was translated, and there's others say no, the Greek word isn't that, whatever that is. He's found in Azotus, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. He believes, he's baptized, and went on his way rejoicing. So let me just put a pause here for a moment. Most of you are familiar faces to me. Some of you are not. I will not presume you're all saved. And children, there has to come a time in your life where you give your heart to Jesus, where you surrender your life to Jesus. The simple gospel remains a simple gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who hung on the cross in your stead to pay for your sins, and you know you are a sinner, you can today, you can right there in your seat right now, you can block me out if you want, I'm okay with that, if that means you reconciling your life to Jesus Christ, you can block me out for a bit. A parent can lead you, you can talk to me later, or you yourself in your little childlike way, or as an adult say, I am a sinner in need of the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from my sin. And then you come see me and we'll baptize you. There is power in what I just shared because that's the word of God, not because I was the voice. There is power when that message is preached. Wherever it is preached, the power of God is on it. When it is basic Bible truth to save any soul that responds to it. I want to say to you this morning, if you've been sitting on the fence, if you're not sure about this Jesus, find out who this Jesus is. One day you're going to stand before him and he's going to ask you what you've done with his word. He's going to ask you to the amount he's given you, what you've done with it. And there is no going back. But if you surrender your heart to Jesus today, there is no desire to go back and live like you once lived. The gospel is God's answer for all sin. This narrative, it highlights the redemption that Jesus purchased with his own life. The book of Isaiah is the gospel of the Old Testament. And as I started in my introduction in 1 Corinthians 3, the foundation we are to build on as Free Grace Fellowship in your home, you and your marriage, and you as an individual, you as a child, is Jesus Christ. And the power of the gospel still saves. People are still saved today through this simple gospel message. Since we're on the topic of angels, angels rejoice when one sinner repents. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I'm not discounting that. But my Bible also tells me anyone who comes to Jesus Christ repenting of their sin will not get the door shut and say, you're not welcome. So let me in love challenge us. We have 3 months and a little bit left in 2017. Can I encourage you that if your heart is cold or colder than it should be towards the unsaved, make that a matter of prayer? You all know people who need Christ. Pray them into the kingdom. Pray them into the feet of Jesus. But as well, the gospel is God's answer for all sin in responding to social needs. But it must include Jesus. Many years ago, we'd go to Union Gospel Mission in New Westminster. No, actually, it was downtown in Hastings. It was also in New Westminster. And it was them and the Salvation Army. Now, the Salvation Army received government money. Union Gospel didn't. And the difference was Union Gospel still got to preach Jesus. Salvation Army didn't. They both fed the poor. They both clothed the poor. They both taught them life skills. But at Union Gospel Mission, they saw many people, street people, get saved. When we are about the Master's business and the gospel is still central, God responds. You'll see it. In Teen Challenge, I know recently, a couple years ago, there was talk of removing the Jesus language out of when they promoted it. And I want to say to those of you who have a heart for TC, you will pray for the rest of us. Pray that will never happen. Because if it does, I'm not sure how many angels are following Teen Challenge around. Because they can't. Or FIA, some of you are involved in FIA, Faith in Action Against Homelessness, or prison ministry. It must keep the gospel central. When you're weak or down, that's you. At some point, some of you today. We believe the gospel is enough for the lost. Is the gospel enough for the Christian? God saved me 27 years ago. And I look back at that with fondness. But as I said earlier, sometimes I lose the value, the richness, the cost. What's Jesus done for me? And the gospel is there for the Christian too. That's why I felt led to pray before I shared that if that's you, you want to believe, you want to say those words, God is good. If he's done the greater, Romans 8, no. I see it in my Bible page. It is the end of Romans 8. If he's done the greater, will he not do other things too? Running for mayor in Fort McLeod. It may be a lonely road right now, Brent. You're in warfare. You have opposition. But if you're there for the right reason, if you're there to see Jesus lifted high and the power of the kingdom to be displayed through the principles you bring, don't you look back. Don't look back. Don't question. If you've heard the prompting of God, run the race above reproach. Go for it. Loving our communities, wherever you live. When the world sees that the church loves people, they will respond. When the world sees that the church serves the communities, they will respond. They have no defense against it. Satan has no defense against it. I'm out of time here, but as you know, I'm part of Love Lethbridge. I chair that organization. There's others who've gone before me who have established it. And so you may at times hear a similar theme come from me because I am passionate about the Church of Jesus Christ promoting the kingdom in our communities through serving and through love. Seeing the lost saved, the hungry fed, the sick healed, the untrained trained, the ignorant taught, relationships restored. Remember, the needs we seek to address are all the result of sin. And the remedy is the same. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Therefore, when you seek to do good in Jesus' name, expect heaven's family to participate. If you're looking to preach Jesus, you may experience being drawn to a lonely road. But remember, as you go, your heavenly counterpart goes along, and you're not as alone as you think. You may even lose a limb in the process. You may lose friends in the process. But if you are about your master's business, preaching Jesus, and sometimes preaching Jesus means washing feet, if you are about your master's business, heaven's family is rejoicing. The counterpart is with you. Expect success. Somebody here sent me a clip this past week on YouTube, and he said it's a little lengthy, so I didn't watch the whole thing, but he said the last 15, 20 minutes are really good. And I'll just end with this. I don't know when this took place, but it was in the States. It was in Columbus. Was it in Columbus? It was in Ohio anyway. And they wanted to appear before the governor, or they wanted to go to a stadium to do a protest about a violation against God. I don't remember what the specific thing was. And he was believing for 5,000 men to show up in January in an open stadium. And the guy that he was with, he was a lawyer, he said, it'll never happen. But this guy said, God's in it. God is bigger than all the opponents. And he kind of dragged this guy along, and for the next 30 days, he went from city to city. And basically said, you guys, be a man, stand up, and fight for this cause. Get to that stadium. And apparently buses that belong to churches don't run well. And broken down buses. And then he went to the media, and the media got hold of it. And the morning of, they had a large crane or a platform. They were going to video this. They said, we're either going to video a lot of men or a lot of empty football field. It was in the football stadium. At the end of it was, there was, I think the head counters were at 16 or 17,000. And they stopped counting and they said, half the buses have not yet unloaded. He went down a lonely road. He had a lot of opposition, a lot of questioning the validity of what he was doing. He had a prompt from an angel or from the Spirit. And he said, my God is bigger than all the obstacles. And he did it. He filled that stadium. The governor hadn't been able to sleep for a month since his pastor came to knock on his door. You see, if we as Christians can be the Phillips, what can we do? No, what can God do through you? The family of God is waiting for your next move that lines up with God's agenda. You're not alone. No matter where you find yourself, no matter where you are, God is with you, God is for you. And what this world has to offer is no comparison, but to see souls brought into the kingdom and the name of Jesus magnified is worth everything. I mentioned this last week, that I don't believe we're in for a good ride coming down the pipe. The church in North America and in Canada will suffer persecution. Are we willing to stand up regardless of the cost? I'll not count our lives worthy to be saved at the loss of others. Count the cost and say, Lord, I'm yours. What do you want us to do? I am willing, as I stand here and shake, to lead you, if you're willing to follow, through whatever God calls us to. Because the alternative is playing church. The alternative is pretending. The alternative is to go somewhere where angels can't follow. I want to see us get to a finish line where the angels are rooting, the saints in heaven are rooting, because we were faithful to the call God has given us corporately and you individually.